Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Today on CityCast Portland, we're talking about Mayor Ted Wheeler's new proposed camping ban ordinance, the new Powerball millionaire probably living in Northeast Portland, and we're reading from our mailbag about proposed activities for the very real 503 Day. Joining me on this midweek roundup is our very own executive producer, John Atariani. It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. Welcome, everyone, to the Midweek Roundup. John, how was your weekend?
Hey, Claudia. I had a good weekend. You know what I did? I went snowboarding. I went to the second to last weekend of the season up at Ski Bowl, and it was so great.
Did you get a burrito?
I did get a burrito, yeah. So what happened was I was going to go on Friday night, so I got like a burrito on the way out Friday night, but then I checked my calendar and realized I was wrong and that they aren't open on Friday nights anymore. So I had a burrito on Friday night that was supposed to be a snowboarding burrito, but was just a burrito.
Just a driving burrito.
It was just a like eat it with my friend at their house burrito. Yeah, what about you?
I just want you to know that I do think about that burrito often.
Listener, we had a very, very incredible gas station burrito in Sandy when we took the team out cross-country skiing a couple months ago.
It was one of the best burritos I've ever had in this area, and I don't understand how it's a gas station burrito. It's so good. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to talk about the camping ban.
The camping ban or camping ban? Question mark?
Yeah. This is definitely a saga. So I'm looking at something that the Oregonian reporter Nicole Hayden wrote about this quote-unquote controversial camping ban. Now, I've been following how this all shakes out because you might remember when we had Mayor Wheeler on the show, that was one of the things that he said he was planning on resolving before the end of his term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, local media outlets have been calling this the camping ban, but there's always been a city ordinance against unsanctioned camping on the books for decades, meaning Portland has always had kind of a camping ban on the books. It basically says you can't erect structures or camp in public spaces, but these ordinances and their enforcement have never been consistent. And that's partially because ODOT and the city, they had a while where they had to figure out like who is responsible for what. Cause they're like, well, that's ODOT and that's the city. So there was a lot of like, not me. And then on top of that, there was a ton of mounting judge rulings like the 2009 Anderson Settlement Agreement that states campers have anywhere from 48 hours to 10 days to clear their sites and also cannot be arrested or fined for attempting to stay warm, dry, or sleeping on public property, which is something that we've probably already heard. Like, oh, these are the rules. And that's because mm-hmm. this agreement came out from a lawsuit against the city about 15 years ago by two houseless people. Their claims was that the city's enforcement of the no camping ordinance essentially criminalized the status of homelessness, which is in violation of their Eighth Amendment. That's like the one that prohibits cruel and unusual punishment. Mm-hmm. So when Wheeler came in with this controversial camping ban of restricting basically the times that people could pitch their tents or any structure between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., he was trying to bypass this Anderson settlement agreement by saying, hey, man, no one's giving you a cruel and unusual punishment. You can sleep wherever, stay warm wherever after 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. But between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m., we will take it and arrest you. Also, you can never camp near schools or public parks. That was like the controversial part, right? And that's why it's been so hard to enact, because not only did a new set of homeless people file another lawsuit with the city, being like, I'm sorry, did we forget the Anderson Agreement? There was also been like previous Oregon Supreme Court decisions that are pretty clear in the wording that you can't be penalized for being homeless. You know, so like federal judges in the Ninth Circuit, which cover Oregon and eight other nearby states, basically ruled using cases out of Grand Pass and Boise that cities can't cite people for sleeping or existing in public property if there are not enough shelter beds to accommodate them. So there's another step to why you can't enact it, right? Because we clearly do not have enough shelter beds to accommodate them. All right, so now we have about half of those shelter beds that are needed, which I just want to say they're not the behavioral health drug treatment beds that we were talking about last Friday. These are just like get out of the cold and rain overnight shelter type beds.
Yeah.
So now they're all caught up. The mayor has proposed a new ordinance that he thinks will appease all these rules. So, John, do you want to read this?
Yeah. Basically, the thing that's new here is this idea of reasonable alternative shelter, right? As long as there is reasonable alternative shelter and it's been offered to people, they can't continue to camp on public property. So, like, let's say someone's camping on public property. Somebody comes up and is like, yo, there are these beds available. Would you like to go? And if they say no, then they can face penalties. And it also has some sort of provisions banning, you know, recklessly obstructing pedestrians or like access to private property or businesses. And it also makes it illegal to start fires or use gas heaters around campsites. So the punishments would be that, you know, the violators could face up to $100 in fines and a week in jail. But like, along with some of the stuff that's been discussed about the revisions to Measure 110, there's also all these provisions pushing the district attorney to consider diversion programs instead. So it's like similar in spirit, but like has a lot more sort of caveats. I think the biggest one is this question of if there's reasonable alternative shelter available, which, as you just said, Claudia, in a lot of cases, there are not going to be reasonable alternative shelters available.
Yeah, they also lessen the penalties, you know, for refusing to follow these new ordinances instead of 30 days in jail, which was the controversial camping ban. You know, I keep saying this in quotes because that was like the first version of this. Now it would only be 7 days.
We need like a finger quote sound.
What would it sound like? Like little birds flying?
Yeah, like a little cheep, cheep.
Anyhow. So that is essentially the new ordinance. They're pretty sure, like in city council, pretty much everyone is just like, yeah, let's go for this. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And they think that it's going to pass. But Wheeler was quoted as saying, our strategy still leads with efforts to remove people from the streets, connect them to navigators who could connect them to service and eventually connect them to housing. But we also have an obligation to maintain public rights of way. So I feel like that's the thing that they're going to like put this on, you know?
Yeah.
And I do want to say Wheeler's lead policy advisor said the enforcement would only happen after multiple outreach attempts, right? And offer shelter, like individual shelter. So if they have a dog, if they have, you know, someone that they're going out with, anything like that, just to make it safe for them. They're just, they're doing all this kumbaya stuff. Like, no, it's going to be awesome, right? Which would be amazing if it's true. But I don't know. Like, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think, you know, camping bans on their face don't do anything to alleviate any problem of homelessness. You know, this is just get them out of the face of the people who are going to complain. And I think that selective enforcement of this is going to be a huge deal no matter what. It's like, it's not a systemic solution. There are specific cases where they like are legitimately blocking sidewalks. They are legitimately blocking businesses. Like those sorts of things need to change. But like, I think that the whole conversation about like ban versus no ban, it's like, well, like shelter and like bigger rehabilitative services and like affordable housing is like the ultimate cure.
Yeah. But just so you know, the new regulations are expected to come before City Council for a hearing on April 18th to collect public feedback and would likely go into effect 30 days after a second hearing. So April 18th is when, if you have any issues with this, you should probably go to City Council and tell them, you know, what you're thinking about this. To me, listening to this, this one seems like a lot better than the first ordinance, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just like, well, this one actually seems to, like, give options rather than just like 30 days in jail for being homeless.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, more of the Midweek Roundup. Well, what's your story, John?
Yeah, I'm looking at something that made a lot of waves in the news media over the weekend. the Powerball winner, somebody just won a jackpot of $1.326 billion. It's the largest jackpot ever won in Oregon on the lottery. Before that, it was like $340 million in 2005. So someone in Northeast Portland, in the area, which is around like the Portland International Airport or Cully, just won this giant jackpot. It's the fourth largest Powerball jackpot and the eighth largest in U.S. lottery history. What do you think?
I mean, it wasn't me, John.
You don't live over there. My sister does live over there. I should check in with Molly and see if she's like just became a billionaire.
Yeah, I think you would have heard about it.
Maybe not. The thing that's like crazy about this is that you can't stay anonymous when you win this sort of prize, right? This is a state law thing. But in Oregon, if you win a major jackpot, even if you win $1 billion, there's no way that you can prevent this from being disclosed publicly.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought like, you know, everyone had that right to keep it private.
No, not in Oregon. I mean, 22 states, actually, you have to disclose that you won. I mean, like there are certain tiers for like, let's say you win a scratch off that doesn't have to be disclosed. But above a certain threshold, like, yeah, you have to disclose it, which you think about it, it kind of makes sense. This is like a way to like prevent fraud within the lottery system. You know, they can't just be like, wow, somebody won $1 billion. No one knows who it is, you know. And also, since there are like tax implications and all of this, it has to be disclosed. And when you think back to what the state did with the OLCC scandal, you know, so whoever did win this $1 billion, which, I mean, we should say it's not ultimately going to be $1 billion once they go through the process and, you know, take the payout and pay taxes. It's going to be a lot less than that.
It's about $600 million. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope that it's going to someone who, like, this month was wondering how they were going to pay for all of their bills next month. I hope that's the person it went to, because, like, what an amazing feeling.
I know.
And someone who, like, hated their job.
Yeah.
Whoever wins it, when they buy the winning lottery ticket, that market also gets a chunk.
Yeah, they get about $100,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope it was like a mom and pop store. Mm-hmm. What would be your first major purchase if you had won the lottery?
Well, I mean, I think there's like, what would you buy that day out of the money that you already have in your bank account? And for me, that would be like, I would just like go to Le Pigeon. I would just be like me and like, you know, two of my best friends going out to dinner.
That's sweet.
I mean, the big picture, I mean, come on, like the first big purchase I would make is a freaking house, because that's like the one thing that even as a podcaster feels out of reach for me.
Did you say even as a podcaster, like a podcaster?
Even as
even as a extremely well.
I guess maybe I should. I know, it's like podcasters are the upper crust of society, but even us,
oh my God,
even us podcasters sometimes have a hard time. Claudia, I did sort of like run the numbers real quick on Powerball jackpot and housing in Portland. Like, okay, let's say somebody takes this $620 million payout, and let's say they set up a nonprofit or like a foundation so they don't have to pay taxes on it, and they just buy as many houses as they can. You could get about 1,160 houses in Portland, just over 1,000 houses with the entire winnings of this, which, if we're looking at 6,000 unhoused people, even a $1 billion jackpot from the Powerball isn't going to solve housing in Portland.
Is this the way of connecting both these stories, John?
Yeah, that's the through line.
I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Just threading it all together.
Yeah. Oh my God. You would know if I won the lottery, John.
Why did Claudia just buy a ferry boat that she's just like,
it would be a ferry boat
driving back and forth across the Willamette River all day? Why did you do that?
Blasting Steely Dan and begging people to jump on the ferry, just trying to move people back and forth. That would be it. John, would you like to go over to the mailbag?
Yeah. We got a lot of emails from y'all this week. Thank you. It's always awesome hearing from you. I'm going to start off with one from Hannah, a member of CityCast Portland. Hooray, Hannah. Thank you for that. And Hannah wanted to dig in on our April guide that we put out last week, sort of talking about all the cool stuff that's going on in Portland this month. And Hannah wanted us to take a look at the LADS 500 event. I've never attended personally, but it's been a dream of mine to go and spectate. It's a bike relay race done around Lad's Circle in 500 laps. People do it in teams, just themselves, or just head to the sidelines to cheer on these bikers for doing something very, very, very silly. I think people should know about this. It's coming up April 13th at 10 a.m. I've never heard of this. Have you, Claudia?
Oh, yeah. I have friends who live in that area and they do it. And what I hear is that it's super silly. People dress up. It's just like goofy, fun Portland event. I'm always curious, though, if people get dizzy.
I know. It's not that big of a circle.
It's really not. Well, I have some letters to read as well, but this one about 503. John, do you want to tell people what 503 day is?
503 day is the coolest new holiday coming to Portland on May 3rd of this year. We have invented it.
It's a very real holiday.
And we haven't come up with the rules of this holiday yet. So we're still sort of figuring out what it is. But it's happening. It's coming. Whatever it is, 503 day is on the way.
Well, here are some suggestions from some listeners. Linda wrote, I'm thinking the Unipiper needs to be part of the celebration. Some sort of parade.
Heck yeah.
Also, Nick wrote, hey y'all, I just listened to last Friday's episode and wanted to comment on Claudia mentioning that there are no porch concerts in Portland. And he wrote, heck yes, there is. I love that. I've been helping plan the third annual Porch Fest in Overlook neighborhood in North Portland. It's like a music festival spread throughout the neighborhood featuring only local artists and musicians playing on people's porches. So July 13th and 14th, of this year, it's a great opportunity to bike around from porch to porch and overlook and listen to good music. Then he wrote, currently looking for musicians. Feel free to reach out at info@overlookneighborhood.org if you're interested. That's so cool. We'll link to that. I think Nick is talking about, I mentioned how one of my 503 wishes, now it's wishes, by the way, is that we do something that I saw get done in Massachusetts when I was visiting. All of the porches basically become venues and people have beers and it's just music everywhere. And I think that's so cool. And I guess it has happened here. It's so funny because I lived in the Overlook neighborhood, John. I don't know if you remember that. And it started literally the year I left. So I don't know what that means.
Claudia's gone. Let's bring out the tunes.
I was upset. I was like, 3 years? God dang, why didn't it happen like for 5 years? I would have been so stoked. We have another, John, do you want to read this one? Another 503 day suggestion.
Yeah, this is from Gray J. And like, I wish I could read this entire thing because Gray wrote us an entire tome. But let me just go through like some of the greatest hits of Gray's 503 day plan.
Okay.
I'll probably start the day at my favorite local coffee shop and encourage others to do the same. For me, this is Grindhouse Coffee, aka Sexy Coffee on Rosa Parks and North Denver Ave. After coffee, I will ride my bike naked to the local tattoo parlor while I will request a 503 piece on my right buttock cheek. then there's like some explanation of like having his wife pick him up so he doesn't have to ride his bike with the butt tattoo. Then there is like this, what he calls a day-long banquet where he goes through. So it's just like a couple of the things that Gray is going to eat and drink on 503 day. Olympia Provisions charcuterie, albina city nuts, Spanish Roja garlic, Honey Mama's chocolate, a cold IPA as designed by Portland brewmaster Kevin Davey, a vegan cauliflower steak with hazelnut gremolata, and much, much more.
I love that he shouted out Spanish Roja garlic. If you don't know that, we just aired an episode about foods around Portland that most people don't know about that are like from, you know, they're not indigenously from this area, but they don't grow almost anywhere else but this area. And he's called one out, which is the Spanish Roja garlic. Awesome. And he also talks about ground cherry salsa. And he wrote, yes, Claudia, I had the same awesome idea.
I think Gray has come up with the 503 day plan to beat at this point. If for the 503 butt tattoo, if nothing else. So.
Why on your butt, though? Like, like, why on the butt? It could go anywhere. You have a whole body. And I love that he's like, right on the butt.
Right, right on the butt.
My favorite is that he ends it with, Portland be praised. Oh, man. You guys, seriously, thank you so much for writing in. Linda, Nick, Gray, Hannah, thank you so much for taking the time to write in. Like, it really does make our day. We love reading these and we love sharing them with everyone.
Yeah.
If you want to reach out to us, you can do so at portland@citycast.fm. We also have a phone number you can call. And I'm sure if I say it out loud, you probably won't remember it. So just head over to our show notes. We'll have it there. John, thanks again for hanging out with me. Thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah. Thanks, Claudia.
That's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please share it with a friend, rate, or leave us a review. It really does help us out. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.